Wow, I'd like to take him on the road with me when I go places, I tell you. What a dear friend. I think you all know that it was like 2 years ago that four of us got to pray over Western New York at the Western Wall, and that began a journey with us together, along with other people across Western New York, to see what God is doing. And I believe God is doing some amazing things in Western New York. Do you agree? I think God is doing some amazing things. We just love Jerry and Edie and the boys so very much and have appreciated getting to spend time together. In fact, you know, the whole goal is not just about doing activities like this together, but it is us mutually taking responsibility to see Western New York changed and the gospel brought to every man, woman, and child across this region. It's a responsibility we have to take together, because I know a couple years ago when the survey was done here at the chapel and with Eastern Hills, and when we looked at how many of us are engaged with having conversations with people and how many people were reached with an exposure to the gospel, between you and us, we reached a whole whopping 1% of the population. We're all doing extremely well, aren't we? You know, when you think about that, we've got so much to go. So the chapel as the flagship church in this area, you can't do it alone. Eastern Hills and the chapel together can't do it alone. We need every believer in Jesus Christ on mission to see the gospel brought and exposure done to every person in Western New York. There are still 600 and some thousand people out there that do not know Jesus Christ. So we're in this together, and I praise God that we are, and I'm thankful that you have received us here today and that our brothers are at other places across the area. Pastor Roderick's at our place today, and Pastor Jerry over at City Church, and then Marty's at Zion Dominion. So I praise God for these men. They are dear brothers. Well, one of the things I had a privilege of doing a few weeks ago was to be with a lot of your team also, as you take this concept and you put it across the United States. There's a movement called Christ Together, and I think you've heard of that. And we were down there in Austin, Texas a few weeks ago as leaders from all across the country about the same thing that we are, wanting to impact their communities. We're there doing some time together, learning together, praying together. It was precious. I wanted to tell you about something that happened to me on the way down there because it ties in with what we want to talk about today. On the way down, I ended up with flight arrangements that were less than usual. I ended up with one of those where you go from here to here to here to here. And eventually I got there. But I thought nobody else will take a flight at 5:30 in the morning, probably. But I was wrong. Pastor Breck Cockrell was on that flight with me. And Josh was along with him. And so we got on this flight, and I thought, well, this is neat, you know, because I've known Breck, but I really haven't spent time with him. As we got from here and we went to Newark to get our first transfer, we were running a little tight on schedule. And so we're hoofing it between buildings, and I'm coming down, and I'm near the gate, and I look up, and here's Breck, and he's coming back the other direction. And he said, hey, Pat, our gate's just right around the corner. And I talked to a guy, and he said they're not boarding yet. And I thought that was unusual because it's like 15 minutes till the flight's supposed to take off. But it was really foggy that morning, so I thought maybe it got delayed. So he said, here's a Starbucks. You want to get a coffee? I said, I'd love to get a coffee. He hadn't had breakfast yet or anything. So I pull into Starbucks, and we get our coffee, and I get out ahead of him, and I head toward our gate. And as I go toward the gate, I look, and there's a ramp coming down, and then our gate's right around the corner. And I look down, and two people ran through the door, and they shut the door. And I came up, and I said, hey, and the lady said, go to customer service. And I said, but I'm to go to customer service. Breck made me miss my flight. And I look back, and here he comes, and he's like, the guy told me. I'm still not sure who he talked to. I saw no guy standing around there. Breck is feeling really bad at this point. So we go to customer service, and we check this out, and the lady gets us on a different flight. And we have, it's standby. So we got to figure out whether or not we're going to get on this flight or not. And there's a couple other people that are in the same place. But the whole time we're standing there waiting, I mean, Breck and I got to talk for half hour, 40 minutes. And then we're standing there waiting to see if we're going to get standby. I'm here. There's some other folks here that were waiting to see if they were going to make it. And I see Breck, and he's over here by this post. And the whole time he's... And I thought, he's praying I'm going to get on this flight. I realize he's just feeling so bad. He's praying that I make the flight. Doesn't matter if he makes the flight. He's just feeling bad about this. And I said, Breck, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And we got on that flight, and we made it all the way down to Austin, and we weren't that much late. And it's not a big deal. Here's the story, and here's what I want us to get about this today as we are going to begin with a question in just a moment. As we got there, we caught up with Josh, and Josh said, you got to know the rest of the story. He said, I'm sitting there, and of course, Breck was supposed to be sitting beside him. He said, there's this Ecuadorian lady that sits down beside me. She and her husband had gotten bad news. They were traveling here in the States. They had gotten bad news that a family member died back in Ecuador. And the only flight they could get on that would make a connection to get them back to Ecuador was that flight. And after I heard that, I said, Breck, you did not lead me astray. You led me into the path of God. Because I believe God had an ultimate plan to care for that family that we missed our flight, which was no big deal to us ultimately, but allowed that couple to get back to where they needed to be. You see, if we are not in tune, and even when we are in tune, you don't know what God is doing behind the scenes in the bigger picture if all you look about is what's happening in your life. You never know. And God is doing so much more, so much more. Such it was at Christmas. I asked Pam recently as we were talking about Christmas. I mean, think about this for yourself. When you think about the Christmas story and you read and God sent his son as a baby, does that seem strange to you? I mean, think about that. God could show up. He's the creator of the world. He's sovereign of all the universe. He could show up with a little bit more flash than a baby in a barn, right? I mean, when you think about it, it seems strange. When you look at a present, and if I wrapped this present, it would look radically different than this. My wife wraps extremely well, and so she wrapped this for me. It's all about the presentation, right? It's about how it looks. At least we think. But I want to suggest to you that when God wraps up his great presence for us, they may be wrapped a little bit differently than what we think. And I want to talk with us today about how God wrapped his present for all of us. It's found in Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn in your Bibles. These are such familiar words. And I pray that maybe just a little bit of new insight into it today will make it fresh and new. I know every time I read it, when the team was singing about it and we were praising God about it, I catch fresh things every time you open your Bible. And I pray that's true for you. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Now this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were terrified. The angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the angel said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. When God wrapped his gift, I would suggest to you that he wrapped it in several different ways. And so the first wrapping I would suggest to you is that he took that which was eternal and wrapped him in history. He took that which was eternal and wrapped him in history. As I think about how God wrapped his gift, some people might think, well, does God try to hide things? And I would suggest to you, no, he doesn't try to hide things at all. Oh, there's more wrappings. Well, we'll come to that later. He took it and he wrapped him in history. Suddenly, God is coming onto the scene. From all eternity, this God has been sharing his story with us. The event that we read here at Christmas is not the first time. It's a very historic moment, but it's not the first time that God showed up in history. In fact, throughout all the Old Testament, there are events where God showed up. He met with Moses at a burning bush and told him, "Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground." And there was a sense of awe as Moses took off his shoes. There was a time in the life of Abraham where the Lord, along with a couple angels, came, and eventually Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But he said to the angels, "Should I not let Abraham, my friend, know what I am doing?" God showed up in a very real and powerful way. He made a promise and a covenant with this Abraham, saying, "Look, I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you, and all people on earth will be blessed through you." You go on through, and these showing up of God, these events where he is seen, are called theophanies. It means a presentation of God. Anytime you see Theo in the name or in a word, it means God. And so there's this flash where God shows up in history. In fact, it's interesting when you think about how God worked throughout all history. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus told a parable. And it's really a summation of the Old Testament. He said there was a vineyard keeper that he took a vineyard and he planted it and he put a wall around it and he put it in charge of some servants and said, "I'll be back." And so when it came time for the harvest, he sent his servants to go get his part of the harvest. And the guys that were running the vineyard for him said, "Nope, I think we'd like to keep this." And so they killed one guy, they stoned another guy, they beat a third guy. He sent some more servants and they did the same. And finally he said, "I'll send my son. They'll respect my son." And the guys that were running the vineyard said, "Look, there's the heir. If we get rid of him, this will all be ours." And in essence, I would suggest to you that the story that Jesus told is the story of the Old Testament. And what did they do to his son when he came? They ended up killing his son. That's what was happening when the Messiah came. But you see God working throughout history over and over and over again. And now God says, "I've got to deal with this situation a little bit differently." And so he sent his son to personally be born as a human being. He took that which was eternal, brought him into history, and not only made the eternal historic, but he made the eternal mortal. If nothing else today, we have to understand our God is a personal God. He doesn't just sit out there in charge of the universe and is very far away from us. He is very near to us every single day. And not only did he work throughout all of history, but he's been working throughout all of your history so that he may draw you to know him as well. Well, the second wrapping that I see that God did as he wrapped this gift for us is that he went from being a creator to being a baby. This does blow my mind when I think about this. He goes from having his son who was the creator be a baby. I read scriptures like John talks about at the beginning of his gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made." Later on in that chapter, he says, "He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to those that believed in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God." If you look back at Genesis 1, you'll find that when God
created this world, everything around us, he spoke it into existence. There was absolutely nothing except chaos. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. And he separated waters and he created land. And when he spoke it, it came into existence. What awesome power. What an amazing, amazing God. And now suddenly, that spoken word is put into the form of a baby. I'm sure you're aware of the song, Mary, Did You Know? I always wondered about, you know, these moments that they make where they have babies talk? Do you know what I'm talking about? These commercials and or TV shows where babies talk and they're speaking. Can you imagine Jesus there and he's cooing and saying, oh, lady, if you only knew. I just picture the amazing God that created everything is so vulnerable. He needs his diaper changed. He needs fed. He needs wrapped up to keep from being cold. Why did God do that? Why would he ever consider that? Why would he take and limit himself like that? Why would this eternal creator take on the form that he did? There's only one reason, and it shows us something about God. Throughout all of history, as God began the covenant with Abraham, sacrifices were done. I always wondered what the sacrificial system would have been like if PETA would have been in existence back then. Do you think how many? Anyway. Animal after animal, sacrifice after sacrifice. And yet, the scriptures tell us that all that did was cover over sin. There was a perfect sacrifice that was needed that was not only going to cover sin, not only going to bring forgiveness for our sin, but was going to break the power of sin once and for all. There's only one person that could do that because none of us are perfect. None of us. None of us can do enough good things to please a holy and righteous God. We try and we try, but none of us are perfect. And so God sent his son, born not by the will of a man, but born by an action where God himself overshadowed a virgin. And in doing so, the child that was born was the Son of God. The Son of God. I don't know about you, but when I think about stories like Breck and I experienced, I think, wow, that's amazing. Only God. But there are people that question, and some of you may be here today, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, you may be hanging around here because you're looking for some answers, but you just can't buy into some of the miraculous things that take place. Do you realize that Christmas is wrapped up in that kind of thing? The idea that the Creator became a baby? Can you imagine what it would have been like when Mary first said to Joseph, Joseph, this angel came and talked to me, and he told me that I'm going to have a baby. You're what? Joseph, I'm expecting. Who is he? Wait a minute, you don't believe me? Joseph, you know me. You know what my character's been like. Mary, think about it. If you were in my seat, would you believe me? This never happened before. It never happened since. But in this moment, Almighty God acted within his creation in order to send his son to be born as a human being who did not have a sinful nature as you and I are born with, so that he could be the pure sacrifice for our sin. John says it later in a letter that he wrote, and he says this. This is love. We like to focus on our love for God, but this is what John said. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. That he sent his son to take on my sin and your sin, and he placed it on him so that sin can be broken in us. That's exactly why the Creator became a baby. And I don't know about you, but I am really glad that he did. Because I would be lost without that. I would be absolutely lost. And that kind of leads to the third wrapping. When I think about what God wrapped, not only did he wrap the eternal in history, and not only did he wrap the Creator in a baby, but he also took our enemy and wrapped him in approachability. You might be sitting there saying, wait a minute, what are you talking about, Pat? I'm not an enemy to God. Really? Let me read something to you. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, do not be afraid. Notice what he says. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. Now let's see. Good news. Savior. Peace. It sounds to me like somebody's at war. If you watch the events of the last couple weeks in Israel, we received reports from people that were in Ashkelon. A guide friend of ours lives in Gadara. We read their accounts of what it was like day in and day out to hear the sirens going off, to hear the booms, to have to run to cover, to know of loved ones that were killed by the 1,500 plus missiles that came out of Gaza into Israel. At the same time, I know that many bombs were dropped on Gaza trying to stop the terrorists from firing their missiles. There was a war that was going on. And while there is a ceasefire right now, there is not peace. There are still moves between those entities. And there's a move at the United Nations that took place for statehood, and there's still the concept that there's a destruction of Israel at hand. And there is still plights that the Palestinians are feeling. Many of them by their leaders, but also by the bombing that takes place in order to stop the terrorism. There is not peace there. Peace is only when two sides that have been warring with each other are brought to a point where they're reconciled and they coexist together in unity. The Bible teaches us that when we are in our sin, when we do not have a relationship and have not come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are God's enemy. You might say, I'm not God's enemy. And I would say to you, if you do not know Jesus Christ and you're still living in your own direction, you are an enemy to God. That's what the Bible teaches. In fact, here's what it says in Colossians chapter 1. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds, because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Hallelujah. I was an enemy to God and I could not do anything to right that war. But God wrapped up his son and sent him as a sacrifice so that I could have a relationship with him and our war could be over. If I'm willing to address the ceasefire terms. And that's where I want to talk to us about. I find people after people after people. I sit and I listen to their stories. And they're so difficult. I got a note this week. One of our couples had a dear friend that committed suicide. And they're raising the questions. I wish we would have known. I wish there was something we could have done. But that person was living with that privately, and their struggles were just consuming them. And there was nothing they could do, the friends. There's just nothing they could do. I hear people that have addiction issues, and as I sit and listen to them, or marital problems. But what I find is people say, I don't want this mess in my life, but I also don't want to give up control of my life and turn it over to God the way you're talking about, Pat. I just don't want that. And so they continue in a war day in and day out and week in and week out and year in and year out. I just lovingly say to you, until we are willing to come clean before God and others and confess our sin and repent of our sin and pursue the Lord, we will never know freedom. But on the other hand, I also know there's a lot of people that say, you know, I really don't want this. I really would like to be free from this. I just don't think God is willing to accept me. I got some great news for you. I want you to think about this with me. The angel appears to some shepherds, lowest rung on the socioeconomic ladder. If you're a shepherd, you are down there. It's kind of like I feel when I go golfing with Brother Roderick. I go golfing with Roderick. I put on the best outfit I got. I show up, and I just feel like I don't belong. That guy is cool. I mean, I showed up the last time. He's got purple vest. He's got purple shoes. He's got purple on his hat. He's just like, whoa. And I just think, I can't even begin to keep up with you. That's how I feel. There are times where the people say, I don't think I could be good enough for God to accept me. None of us are. That's the good news. Shepherds, lowest on the socioeconomic run, not the folks you would invite to your party. They got a personal invitation. 2 years later, thousands of miles later, there's some guys that were not kings. They were king makers. They were royalty who helped put kings in place. We call them the Magi. They show up because they got a personal invitation through the stars. And they came. And they were there. They were trained, by the way, by a guy by the name of Daniel, hundreds of years earlier. And that came down to them. God prepared a personal invitation for them. The shepherds told everybody they saw, whoever may come and see this thing that they had seen. Think about this. During Jesus' lifetime, a tax collector was invited. A murdering social activist was invited. Fishermen, Pharisees, people who were killing church people, Paul. Women, children, demon-possessed, unstable, prostitutes, a woman who was on her sixth relationship after five failed marriages and she's living with a guy. A sick person, blind people, ignorant people. Occupying army officers. In this whole conflict with Israel, I've got an Arab Christian pastor friend who's evangelical, and they have started some outreach ministries, and they have been in some of the most radicalized camps in the West Bank, and they are seeing Hamas army officers coming to know Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? That is all because of the power of the gospel. It's the good news. Whosoever will may come. Ranking religious leaders, single moms with hurting kids, people from all walks of life were told and shown that the God that they were once enemies with is very, very approachable. Whoever will may come. I praise God for that. Finally, we get to the gift. The last thing he did was wrapped and took a promise and wrapped him in fulfillment. God is a God of promises. He's a God of promises. And as we look at what he's doing, he made promises. Remember, he said to Abraham, one of the promises he made to Abraham in the covenant is all people on earth will be blessed through you. Notice what it says at the end of our account today. As the shepherds went, they saw Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread word concerning him, what had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then they returned, praising God and glorifying him for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. God is a God that keeps promises. And he kept telling everybody what they saw. You know, promises are just words until they're kept. For those of you that are married, however many years ago, for us it was 30 years this year, I made a vow to that woman. You know the vow. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. Those are just words until sickness becomes a debilitating disease. And you become a caregiver for the rest of their life. until richer or poorer becomes a lost job, and you're having a hard time making ends meet, and he's not providing for you the way you thought he would. For better or for worse, until you have differences of opinions about things. You see, vows don't mean much until they're put to the test. They're just words. But isn't it good to know that God, whatever he has said in this word and he's promised, he is a keeper of his promises. And part of that is sending his son. And so everything that God says in here is true, and he is trustworthy, and he is dependable. We know that he will fulfill it. Now, sometimes we think he ought to fulfill it a little bit sooner than what he does. And we wish he would be a little bit quicker. But God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some of us understand slowness. That's why it tells us in Galatians, in the proper timing, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And then because we are God's son, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave to your sin, but you're God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. He is dependable. Now again, is God hiding his desires, all these wrappings? No. I would suggest to you, it's really different. Many of us are like the children of Israel. Like many other people throughout all of history, we are stubborn in our resistance to God's call to us to come. And so he says, okay, I'll try this way. And then I'm going to try this way. In fact, if you look throughout all of history, you will find that God sent different kinds of people in different ways just to say to people, I want you to be in a relationship with me. And ultimately, what did he do? What is his gift? Well, his gift is pretty simple. It's wrapped up in himself, sacrificing himself on a cross for you and for me. He gave his all so that you might have life and have it to the full. Received a note this past week of somebody that started coming to our church, and there was an issue in their life, and they said they saw themselves as a godly person. And yet there was one issue that they knew they had not surrendered to the Lord, and they did. And it was painful for them to make that choice. But they said, I have never had such peace in my life. That's what God does if we're willing to come to him. So if you're here today and you've never received this gift, Daryl's going to come up in a couple minutes, and he's going to tell you where you can go that somebody would love to sit down with you and talk through that, how you begin that journey, how you can receive this precious gift that God has done for you. Because the gift is for every one of us. Whosoever will be receiving it. There are, unfortunately, people that are going to reject the gift and never receive it. So if you're here today and you have interest in knowing more, you might not even be at a point where you're ready to receive the gift, but you'd like to know more, then listen to what Daryl says and he'll tell you where you can go. But I want to speak to the rest of us, those of us that would claim to be Christ followers. God has shown himself throughout all of history, and it shows him at Christmas, that he's proving that he is a personal, loving, approachable God who is very dependable. Let me ask you this, Christ follower. I'm not talking to people that are just fans and cheering God on, but I'm talking about people that are engaged in the mission of telling your story to other people that are around. Let me ask you these questions. Is the story that you tell real and personal? If I ask you, hear that again. If I ask you, I'm not going to tell you to do it, but if I ask you to turn to your neighbor right now and share with them something you learned about God or learned from God this past week, how he showed up in your life or gave you an opportunity to change or grow or tell somebody about him or do something for his glory, could you do that? Could you do that? And if not, why not? You see, this God is a personal God. So is he personally so active in your life right now? Are you in such intimacy with him that you are ready anytime to give a reason for the hope that you have, because God is very much alive in your life. And if not, I just want you to consider, what's that mean? Would people know about the love of God from you? Do they feel his love from your conversations, from your actions? Are you giving that cup of cold water in Jesus' name to the sick or to the lonely, to the ill that are in the hospital? Are you considering being a part of the team so that every child in foster care in Erie and Niagara County can get out of that foster system or get into foster homes that will love them in the name of Jesus? Not that you may take them into your home, but you'll be a part of that support team that will help those that are. We're joining in with you about that. I think it's great to think that those 9,000 kids could have a chance to hear the gospel in a loving environment, all because the Christian community steps up. Would people know that? If you called customer service with an issue, would they know the difference between you and somebody else that calls? This is getting real personal because I had to call customer service 3 times this week. And I will confess to you, there was one time where I think, I'm starting to lose my sanctification. I've got to back off. And I had to love them in the name of Jesus. I did. But it's one of those things. I even think about that. Would people know, see a difference in me because of that? Does anyone ever sense that you are prejudiced, therefore thinking God is prejudiced? Do you ever give the impression that people have to clean up their act before coming to the Lord? Or are you approachable and open to conversations with people so that they know that no matter what background they come from, that God is right there waiting to receive them, just like the dad was for the prodigal son when he came home? Can you share how God has been trustworthy to you and affirm that to others? You see, I realize every day that we are the picture of Jesus Christ to people. We are. And that's why we must stay wrapped in him daily, so that we present him well. Because God's not hiding out from us in all this. God is just doing whatever he can, and he has given his all so that we would receive the gift of life that's found only in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray that you know him this Christmas season, and I pray that you're presenting him well, and that you are on mission to let every man, woman, and child know that he is there for them as well. Would you just bow with me for a moment? Father, I thank you for being such a personal, loving God. I thank you that you have now wrapped yourself not with history, not with all these other things, but today, just like I am a poor gift wrapper, and I don't wrap things very well, but for whatever reason, you chose to wrap yourself in somebody like me. And like every one of my brothers and sisters here that know you, you have chosen that we are the body of Christ. And so to the world that's around us, we are the gift wrap box that carries Christ to them. And it's up to us to show with the proper wrappings who you are. And so I'm asking God in a very powerful way that you will continue to show yourself to the world around us, not because of who we are and not because we're glitzy or anything else, but by the power of your Spirit, may you demonstrate yourself through us so that people will be drawn to you. Like the scripture says, that people might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And for those that don't know you today, I pray that they will begin that journey, or at least seek out more, so that they too could have peace that passes understanding this Christmas season. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.